Good evening, everybody. I'd like to offer some reflections this evening. And first, to acknowledge that we're coming towards the end of our first full day together on this retreat. And we've had a chance to check in with some of you in small groups, and we'll meet others tomorrow. But I just wanted to acknowledge that it's been a full day of practice. Familiar for some of us maybe, and unfamiliar for others. And even if we've been here a few times, we know that it can still be quite a challenge. So I'm wondering how you're all doing. And yeah, how are you? And I'd like to put that out not as a rhetorical question, as an actual question. If anyone would like to just call out a word or two in response to that question, how are you doing? How is it? Full range is welcome.
Calm.
Thank you.
Challenging.
Thank you.
Settling.
Thank you.
Tired.
Thank you. One or two more, if there's anything else that wants to be offered into the space.
Fragile.
Thank you. Notice how those words land with you. Maybe they resonate. Maybe they're quite different from how it is for you right now. But again, to just acknowledge with this full range of how things are, just to give ourselves a little pat on the back. And it could be an actual, you could actually make this into a little shoulder massage, just in case the shoulders, they can sometimes creep up during a day of practice. If you want to just ease out the shoulders, the tops of the arms, just a little kind of self-hug, if you like. Sometimes we can have habit patterns of like, I'm going to get my nose to the grindstone and I'm going to keep going. And it's just good to take these moments to acknowledge this practice, to acknowledge the practice that you've done today. And to appreciate yourselves and appreciate each other. These practices look simple. Someone from the village walking past, seeing you all walking slowly back and forth in the garden, might be like, oh, that looks really straightforward and uncomplicated, and they all look very peaceful. And but from the inside, we know it's not always quite like that. In the midst of it all, we can feel tired and fragile, the busy mind, the activated system. So thank you for your practice and for continuing. And for your attention as you listen to these words, this is another form of practice. Listening, noticing where your attention is, where it comes closer, where it moves away, where there are things you think, oh yeah, I like that, I like the sound of that, or oh, I'm not so sure about that, or don't really know. That whole spectrum. Letting the words land in your awareness, arise, pass, seeing your response to them. And letting them go if they're not helpful, if they don't feel useful for this time. So the theme of this talk is kindfulness. We talk a lot about mindfulness. How about kindfulness? And kindfulness, particularly of the body. Kindfulness of the body. Did you forget the kindness at any moment during the day? Did it seem a long way away? Another thing we can keep coming back to again and again, beginning again. Where is the kindness in this moment? Maybe kindness isn't the right word for you. This is another area of exploration where we can really find the words, the felt sensations, the images that work for us. So kindness, loving kindness, friendliness, of course, a translation. Translation into English from the word metta, M-E-T-T-A, a word in the Pali language, P-A-L-I, Pali, which is believed to be related to, not exactly the same, but related to the language that was spoken by the Buddha and by the Buddha's followers, practitioners at that time. The language in which the early teachings were written down several hundred years after they'd been passed on orally. Translated into English as loving kindness, friendliness. Other words might be goodwill, benevolence, warmth, hospitality. How is it to cultivate a hospitable mind and heart for all the many visitors that come and go? So we're bringing in kindness all the way through, beginning, middle, end. All the way through these days, this practice. And notice your relationship to it. Sometimes there might be like, oh, do they really have to keep going on about the kindness? We've heard enough about that, and I want to get onto the real stuff or something else or this or that. Again, it's another thing where we can notice our relationship to it. Maybe it's like it's too wishy-washy, it's too soft, it's too... It can be all manner of things we come up against when we hear it. And it's a crucial ingredient for all those moments when we return and when we notice perhaps the critic, oh, there I go again, or I'm not doing so well, I'm really not getting this, shouldn't be like that, I'm not as good as that person, they've sat there motionless for 45 minutes, they're definitely enlightened, I can see their aura glowing and I'm just immersed in the same old, all those moments, can we bring metta, can we bring kindness to ourselves, to others, to this mind, heart, however it's showing up. Patience is kin to kindness, and a lot of it is required, a lot. This is really the training ground of patience. Can there be kindness, friendliness, metta when we encounter all the ways in which our bodies, and we're really putting body in the foreground, particularly in these first days, when we encounter all the ways that they're showing up in all kinds of ways and forms that we really don't want? When we encounter the ways that our bodies may be complicated, messy, impacted, confusing, wonderful, mysterious? Can there be compassion? Can there be great self-care when we encounter all the ways in which our bodies may be feeling the resonance, the impact of harm, of suppression, of oppression, of repression? There's a book you may know the title of called The Body Keeps the Score. The Body Keeps the Score. And sometimes in all this emphasis on mindfulness of the body, why on earth are they going on and on and on about it? Mindfulness of the body again and again and again. When the body seems so complicated, such a potentially difficult arena. So important also to acknowledge the power and agency of these bodies, their tenderness, their resilience, their aliveness, their capacity for delight, for joy, for courage, for generosity, for selflessness. One of the ways in which I've been witnessing this recently is that my partner has got into running very much in the last few years, and to such an extent that she's started running half marathons and marathons. Maybe some of you know this territory. So a couple of weeks ago she ran the Manchester Marathon, and I went to, you know, as best I could, support her and occasionally jog along slowly beside her and check that she was, you know, had enough water and, you know, jelly babies and things like that to keep her going for all those kilometres. And what I have this incredible response when I see these races. There was 24,000 people running that marathon, 24,000. The sea of humanity. And I stand there and the tears pour down my face. That enormous effort and generosity, I feel really moved just talking about it now. People often running in memory of people that they've lost, running to raise money for charities, in all their forms, shapes, sizes, colours, people in chicken costumes and SpongeBob SquarePants costumes and superhero costumes and the full range. And to me, somehow that outpouring of energy and effort, and really I'm in awe of it. I mean, particularly because I can, you know, just about manage a 5K at a very slow jog. As human beings, we have an incredible capacity for courage and for love. So why do we begin with the body? Why the body? A lot of responses could be given. Here's just two or three. Generally speaking, bodily sensations, the felt sense in the body, moves more slowly than thoughts. We can track them more easily. And this can help awareness to steady and settle. Maybe you've noticed during this day how quickly our thoughts go here, go there. We can be in a lot of different places very, very quickly in our minds. Bodily processes are slower. And particularly as we slow down, we can see, you know, we can see energy moving. We can see as we do the beautiful, gentle yoga that Helen is guiding us. We can see these really subtle, slow possibilities for the body. And it brings us to the present moment. When we tune to the body on the earth, we find, ah yes, here, now. There's an honesty to it, a present moment honesty. There's a very short sutta in the Pali canon called the Sabha Sutta. Sabha is all, the all. I think, great, I'm going to get the all, finally, in a nutshell. And it's very straightforward. And I'm going to read most of it to you now. So this is the voice of the Buddha, or the voice of those who brought these teachings through the oral tradition, through down these centuries, 2,500 years. Practitioners, I will teach you the all. Listen to this. And what is the all? The eye and forms, the ear and sounds, the nose and odours, the tongue and tastes, the body and tactile sensations, the mind and mind objects. This is called the all. If anyone should say, I've rejected this all, I shall make known another all. That would be a mere empty boast. If they were questioned, they would not be able to reply, and further would meet with vexation. Why? Because that all would not be within their domain. The body, the ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the skin, the mind. A lot in the mind and mind objects, granted, all the ways that the mind, the heart mind, the embodied heart mind can think, fantasize, dream, recollect, reflect, on. So a big realm there, granted. But it points to the deep embodiment, the deep embodiment of these practices. And the word mind itself, in a way, is also confusing. The word it translates, citta, C-I-T-T-A, is really more like the heart mind. A few days ago, I conducted a very, very small research experiment. Any of you in academia will know that, you know, it takes sometimes years to set up research projects and the numbers of participants and the data and this and that. This was a tiny research project with one participant. It was completely subjective. It was my partner. And I asked her, this was the research question, where is your mind? She said, here. She's not a meditation or mindfulness practitioner at all. And I thought, yeah, that in a way, that is the sort of ordinary person in the street. She's not at all ordinary. I hate to give her that description, ordinary person in the street. But in a way, that's probably what a lot of people would say, maybe a lot of us would say. It's all up here. This is where the mind is. And much of our culture, philosophical traditions, histories, art, literature, all the rest of it can separate. This is the mind, and there's a kind of sort of cut-off point here. That's the body. Generally, better, generally not so good, particularly when you get down there, forget it, all kinds of assumptions, cultural norms and all the rest of it come in, that kind of splitting off that some of us have inherited. Very, very hard to reimagine the mind as something more deeply embodied, something here. The vagal nerve practice that we did earlier, in a way, leads us to that deeper sense of the mind, heart, in the body. So when we tune to the body and when we tune to these other anchors, particularly of sight, of sound, of touch, it brings us further down. The safe direction is downwards. And this really helps to regulate us, helps us to find our windows of tolerance, becoming our own kind, wise guides. So an example from literature of how we can kind of live more up here or even outside of the body, from the Irish writer James Joyce in a short story called The Dubliners, about a character called Mr. Duffy. He lived at a little distance from his body, regarding his own acts with doubtful side glances. Does that sound familiar? Moments when we wake up and we notice we're living at a little distance from our body, regarding our own acts with doubtful side glances. Who is this? Who is this person? What do they think they're doing? And we can notice how our awareness moves further away, leaving a little distance, and closer in. And sometimes very important to remember that capacity to regulate. To take care with these multi-layered hearts, minds, bodies. And to recognize that this living at a little distance may have been a very wise and appropriate survival mechanism. Important to respect. May have had good reasons for being there. So the kindliness, the kindfulness of body, to invite the awareness closer. To gather gently, kindly, tenderly. And in this moment, let's take a conscious breath together, noticing. How is it in your body, mind, heart right now? This mysterious and taken for granted act of breathing. Mindfulness of breathing is the first element of mindfulness of body in the foundations of Mindfulness Sutta, the Satipatthana Sutta. And there's a few other elements of mindfulness of body. It's mindfulness of the body in different postures, as we've been doing today, sitting, standing, walking, lying down. Mindfulness of the body in terms of the elements. Mindfulness of breathing is such an interesting gateway. We breathe between 17,000 and 20,000 breaths a day. So even today, when we may have been present with more breaths than usual, 17,000? Approximately 11,000 litres of air. So much of this we're not conscious of. And yet we have this amazing capacity to become more conscious, to bring awareness, to rest, to be with the breath, to foreground the breath. Breathing is at the crossroads of our experience. What we experience changes our breathing, and how we breathe changes our experience. So in the mindfulness of body, in the breathing section, it's spoken about quite simply, knowing I'm breathing in, knowing I'm breathing out, knowing I'm breathing a short breath, knowing I'm breathing a long breath. And then breathing, experiencing the whole body, and breathing, calming bodily activities. And the image that is given is at the end of this section, brings in a particular skill, particular trade, particular craft or an art. Goes like this: just as a skillful woodturner or a woodturner's apprentice making a long draw is aware, I make a long draw, or making a short draw is aware, I make a short draw. So that's the image for being aware. Breathing in long, one is aware, I breathe in long. Breathing in short, one is aware, I breathe in short. When walking, one is aware, I'm walking. And I haven't done, I once had a go at wood turning, but that was all. So it's not an area of skill that I know much about. But I do know a little bit about carpentry and joinery. So I was thinking about this in relation to how we practice with the body and how we practice with the breath. And a long time ago, it feels like almost another lifetime ago, but it was actually in this one incarnation, probably 20 or 30 years ago now, I trained as a carpenter and joiner. For 2 years, I studied, and first of all, I spent a year in a women's workshop, and then I was in a workshop with the vast majority of young men, me and a couple of other women. And in this process, I learnt this wonderful craft of working with wood. And then after that, I worked as a technician in the women's carpentry workshop, helping students there make their projects, sharpening tools, looking after the machines, sawing a lot of wood, preparing it for people to make their different dovetail joints and mortise and tenon joints and all of that. So why am I talking about all of this? Well, I was thinking about this wood turner, thinking about that skill and that attention of holding the chisel in a particular way as the wood turns on the lathe, and of everything that goes into that. So when I or others were making a particular kind of carpentry joint, the kind of preparation that would go into that, selecting the wood, wood that, you know, so not getting a bit of wood with lots of knots in it, noticing if the wood is really sappy and got a lot of resin, because that's harder to cut, harder to make into a joint. Is it too dry? Is it the right length? Measuring it, cutting it down, the sharpness of the tools. Lots and lots of things going into all of this. So in a way that connects for me with this art and craft of practice, what are the conditions? What are the habit patterns? How is this particular being, body, heart, mind, whatever words you want to give it, whatever flavour you want to give it, how can I best and most kindfully respond to this one? In a way that brings more freedom, in a way that brings more capacity, in a way that allows me little by little, splinter by splinter, to free up what is possible. Finding an embodied way of relating to all of our experience inwardly and outwardly. In the service of our deepest intentions, as a way of loosening our reactivity and beginning to see more clearly. In the small groups, people were asking about insight meditation, speaking of it as the translation of vipassana, passana to see, and v, the bit that is like the accentuator, the seeing clearly. Seeing clearly our relationship to what pushes us, what pulls us, what confuses us, what numbs us out. Deepening compassion, loosening our fixed views. This beauty and mystery of our bodies as gateways, as Dharma doors, spoken about in the tradition. The countless Dharma doors that we can enter. Some of the words from the beginning and the end of the Metta Sutta, a poem from one of the earliest strands of the early Buddhist teachings. It begins, "This is what can be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the paths of peace." And the skilled in goodness, it goes on to elaborate this, is really referring to the foundations of non-harm, these ethical foundations of compassion, of generosity, of clarity, of steadfastness, of non-harm in all, the intention of non-harm, thoughts, words, deeds. And it goes on to elaborate how we can cultivate loving-kindness, metta, and who we can offer it to, all the different categories of beings, further and further outwards, this unconditional capacity of our minds and hearts. And at the end it talks about the why, that this is in service of liberation. This is said to be the sublime abiding, the heavenly realm, the heavenly dwelling place. These are the last few lines. By not holding to fixed views, the good-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all the pushes, the pulls, is fully liberated. So again, that liberation from fixed views, the relationship between that and the foundations of non-harm, the clarity, the seeing clearly, again and again coming back to what can fall away, what is here, what is now, what is. What is this? So just to finish these thoughts on kindfulness of body, I wanted to lighten it a little. Because in all this talk of the different postures, the different ways the body can be, the different sensations, something that I feel gets missed out in this, sitting, walking, lying down, standing, the porridge, the chopping the veg, the going to the bathroom, the walking in the corridor. Something that can get missed out is the dancing. Have you forgotten how to dance? So we might not be dancing collectively this week. We might not be putting on music. And dancing might not be your thing at all. That's absolutely fine. Maybe you have your own version of it or your own... Maybe your dancing is in the boxing ring, or maybe your dancing is in the yoga, or maybe it's in the walking out in the fields with the cows and the sheep. But if you feel moved to, find a little time to dance this week. Maybe it's just a little shimmy in your room, or maybe it's outside. If you're walking up and down, and there's sometimes when we're walking, the heaviness can come in the shoulders and the back and forth. Can you bring the dance in? Can the walking become the dancing? T.S. Eliot writes, at the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards, at the still point, there the dance is. But neither arrest nor movement, and do not call it fixity, where past and future are gathered. Neither movement from nor towards, neither ascent nor decline, except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance. And there is only the dance. So let's just sit together a few moments in the quiet. Except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance, and there is only the dance.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.